Good Easter morning, resurrection morning. Isn't it interesting? Our Lord rose from the dead at springtime, the very picture of life. Martin Luther commented on this 400 years ago. Our Lord has written the promise of the resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. All around us, we see life appearing. And that's our message this morning. If you have a bulletin, just look at the back of your bulletin. If you want to really rest this morning because it's Easter morning, just sit back, relax. You've worked too hard this week. It'll all be on the screen for you. Actually, we put a lot of pictures up here for the children. It really helps to keep them awake. And since on this morning we don't run a full Sunday school, it's great for them to see all these pictures. They don't listen to me, but they love the pictures. I've entitled my message, The Miracle of the Resurrected Body. Now, I chose this message because many people do not understand that we will receive on resurrection morning a material, physical body, and that this body will live for eternity in a new earth. And so this body is fitted for the new earth. Do you know the first Christians got confused about this? We have the book of 1 Corinthians, and one of the last chapters is about the question, what is this body going to look like? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. What does this new body look like? Now, one of the first heresies experienced in the first century, and you can see it in the New Testament, is the heresy that the resurrection would not be of a physical material body, but be a spiritual thing. So before we look at what the Bible says about this material resurrected body, I want to just make three comments about the body before we even start. Number one, God made the human body and he made it perfect. The Bible says, right in Genesis chapter 1, that God created the body. The human body did not self-create. It did not come out of slime because of time and chance. King David said this, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And later he says, my soul knows it very well. The human body is actually one of the greatest proofs that there is a creator being, a designer, an engineer, a powerful being that could create. Only God could create such a body. Now I want to just take a few minutes and look at the science of the body and how complex it is and how it interacts, but remind you that this body is fitted for this earth, not for the new earth. So we want to just look for a few minutes, and I know we're all interested in the body, what this body is like and how beautiful a machine it is. 12 simple points about our bodies. This body, the body, is made up of trillions of cells. Cells are the basic building blocks of the body. The human body has about 200 specialized cell forms. Every single cell can nourish itself, protect itself, and reproduce itself. And then you think of the cell's nucleus, in which is the DNA, something only newly discovered in the last 60 years, where the map, the mystery of who we are, is contained in the double helix. My wife and I were at a dinner, and the man sitting right next to me was one of the research scientists at National Jewish Hospital. So we started talking, and I said, now, what are you researching? He said, my entire life has been spent figuring out how nutrients get into a cell and how it then is eliminated through the walls of the cell. And as he explained to me the cell, I just sat there in utter amazement. It is a world in and of itself. Number two, the body is protected by armor, which is the skin. The skin protects the body against attacks from without and to regulate inside the body. It's been said, skin keeps the outside out and the inside in. It's the largest organ we have. Three, the entire body is supported by the structure of bones, which make up the skeleton. Now, the skeleton is the basic fabric and structure of the body. It's why we can stand up, why we can sit down, we can walk. Actually, the skeleton is the anchor in which the muscles are connected. It also protects certain organs like the heart and the lungs. Number four, the body is able to move because of its system of muscles. Muscles give us strength. It gives us all our mobility. There's actually three types of muscles. There's skeletal muscles, the big muscles that are connected to our bones, allows us to do our exercises when we get up in the morning and to run and walk and do all of our activity. Then there's the cardiac muscle, which controls the rhythm of the heart. And then there's the smooth muscles, which regulates the internal organs. It's just an absolutely amazing machine. Number five, the circulation system carries vital substances through the body. The circulation system includes the heart, the blood, and the blood vessels. Now, if you took all your blood vessels and lined them up head to tail, they would extend over 60,000 miles. The heart is an amazing pump. It pumps over a gallon of blood through the entire body every minute. And the blood transports vital nutrients to every part of the body. Now, when I get up this morning, could you believe it? Easter morning, I get up and I am just draining and draining. So right now, my body is not functioning well. And I hope my immune system is working overtime. So I'm sorry this hurts your ears. It doesn't hurt me, but I'm draining, and so I'm coughing like this. How I made it through the last service is almost a miracle. But the body took care of it. All right, the respiration system focuses on the lungs. The lungs deliver life-giving oxygen to the cells. And then it eliminates the carbon dioxide, the waste of the cells, the exhaust of the body. And then there's the amazing digestive system, which allows the body to ingest and absorb the fuel necessary for life. You think, you go to a restaurant, and you have this beautiful big steak, and you eat this steak, and you know that within 3 hours, that steak is in every part of your body. It's done through the digestive system. The digestive tract is about 30 feet long. It starts with the stomach, and it goes through all the intestine. This is amazing how this happens. You eat a meal, you chew it well, it breaks this food down and separates this food into its different nutrients. These nutrients then are passed through little tiny tentacles in the intestines, and it goes into the bloodstream and is carried to every part of the body. What an amazing machine the body is. How could it be a self-generating machine or without plan or design? And then number eight, the body's cleansing system helps to eliminate waste through the function of the kidneys. The kidneys are the filter of the entire blood plasma. More than 60 times a day. That amounts to about 50 gallons of blood for your kidneys every single day, filtering the bloodstream. And then there's the body's control system. Probably one of the most complex is the nervous system. The nervous system is made up of billions of nerve cells. The brain, the most amazing part of your whole body, and the spinal cord. Now listen to this. Nerve cells work to sense the body's environment, and it sends information to the brain. The brain responds back through these nerve cells, telling the body what action to take. The brain is literally every minute sending millions of messages to your body. To blink your eyes, to say those words, to stop talking, to change your heart rate. Everything is governed by this nervous system. And you know, the brain is still really the new frontier of science. The body is a chemical and electrical factory. And the thing we know least about is the brain. I imagine the next 20 or 30 years, we'll be in a different orbit in the area of science and nutrition because of what we learn about the brain. 10, the body has a complex system of messengers, which are hormones. Hormones deliver messages and information and instructions throughout the whole body. Let me give you an example. Here's a little child. Child is born. Entire hormonal system kicks in to cause that child rapid growth. And you know, if you have little children, how quickly they grow over the years. And then you get to a certain age and that growth stops, thankfully, and you sort of level out like a plane at its full height. And then somewhere about 50, 55 years of age, a whole new system of hormones kick in, and they You ever been on a plane and you feel that little tilt down? You know, you're flying for hours. Just feel that plane tilt down. Like a friend of mine said, I can feel that the wheels on my plane are down and I'm ready to land. Well, there's a whole hormonal system that causes you to age, and basically you land your plane. Your life is ended by your hormones. Your skin starts to sag. Your muscles start to atrophy. You lose your mind. You lose your hair. You need glasses. Why are you all looking at me like that? I have feelings. You have to have hearing aids. You get your knee replacement, hip replacement. The hormones are taking you down, landing you. 11, the system of reproduction controls the creation of new human life. This is something also interesting. You do not need your reproductive system or organs to live. You can live without them. But to perpetuate the human race, we need the reproductive system, which allows the human race to go into the future. And then there's the body's immune system that protects it from outside attack. And I hope my immune system is working well right at this point. I need it. The immune system starts with the skin. The skin actually protects you from many things. Then you have white blood cells that are always fighting off disease. And then the body has a whole adaptive system to fight off specific threats and invaders. But this is just a little survey of the amazing human body. And here's something most remarkable. Scientists realize today, after all of our discoveries, there is so much more to know about this amazing body. They're still discovering new hormones. Now, God not only made this physical machine, but he also breathed into it life and personality and the divine image into every single person. Now, this body, the body you have now, is an earthbound body. It is created to live on this earth at this time. It is subjected to time and to material boundaries. It has serious limitations. We need food, water, sun, sleep, air. We're subject to gravity and many, many limitations. We also have needs for social interaction, emotional needs, religious needs. I haven't even talked about significance and love. So we're more than just body. There is actually a whole immaterial self which we can hardly describe. This is the body that God created for this earth. But a very terrible thing happened at the beginning of the human race. Sin ruined the human body. Death. Genesis 3:19, God said to Adam and to Eve, he says, you'll return to dust. I created you out of dust. You'll return to dust. You'll return to the grave. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. In other words, God made Adam and Eve perfect. But when sin came into the world, it touched the body. It actually brought ruin to the body. And so today, all of us here sit and we face sickness. We face many, many kinds of diseases, physical disorders, mental disorders, weakness. I was talking to a lady just before the service and her husband wasn't able to come today. She said he's just wearing out. He's just wearing out. The body just wears out. And then there is death, decay, and corruption. In fact, the sight of death is one of the ugliest things you can ever see. I remember once seeing a dead body, 7 days dead. One time I saw a body, it was actually my own brother's body, after a day being dead, he was found. And it is one of the worst things you can ever see with your eyes. It is one of the worst stenches that you can smell, a dead body. It is the sign of decay and corruption and God's judgment on this race. And that's why we bury the body as soon as we can. Something is abnormal. It isn't right. Now, our third introductory point is God will raise the human body from the dead to live forever, an imperishable body. Now, this is what our message is about. I just wanted to prepare you about the body. I know you're all very interested in the body. You all look very nice this morning. I can see you showered and some of you shaved and you got all dressed up. You look real good. And if you're wise, you'll go home and have a good meal, fuel that body. But we want to talk now about the new body, the resurrected body. Not the body you have now, but the body that you will be given for eternity. And this is what Easter's about. Not about Easter rabbits and eggs. It's about Christ rising from the dead and someday coming back, and we too will rise from the dead. So let's now, in five very simple points, look at the new resurrected body. What is it going to look like? Number one, a body raised by the awesome power of God. No one can raise a dead body. It is impossible, absolutely impossible. But the God who spoke and created the cosmos and angels and humans can raise the dead. And only God can do this. Romans 8:11 says this, "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." Romans 4:17, and look carefully at this verse. God who gives life to the dead, dead bones, ashes. Only God can give life, because he is the author. He's called the author of life. And calls into being or existence that which does not exist. In other words, only God can take out of nothing. We don't even know what nothing is, because if it was something, it wouldn't be nothing. Only God can take nothing and make something out of non-existence into existence. We know no such thing as self-creation. That is a total myth. There is something that has always lived. It's a personal being, a creator being, and he brings out of nothing what we see today in this marvelous body. So, God is the author of the resurrection, and only he has the power to raise the dead. Now, why should this be a problem? We already have a marvelous body. We already have an amazing, mysterious universe. Well, where did that come from? Well, the one who created the cosmos and created our bodies and all that we see, he's able to create and recreate a new body. Actually, it'll be of no effort for him to do that. Second, a body raised to be like Christ's new body. In other words, we actually know what the new body looks like. It's going to be like Christ's body. He's the prototype. 2,000 years ago, Jesus' body was placed in a cave tomb, and it rose from the dead by the power of God to come out of that tomb. The body we will get is like the body that came out of that tomb. He's the prototype. He's the model. He's the first new body fitted for heaven and fitted for eternity. Now, what was that body like? We know from the New Testament. So let's look for just a brief moment. What was that body like? What came out of the grave was a real material body, not a ghost or a spirit. Jesus was not a spirit or a ghost. He was a real body. It could be touched. It could be seen and held, spoken to. Jesus said to his disciples, "Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." So after his resurrection, he says, "God, grab my hands, touch me, look at me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as I have." Shortly after this, he ate with the disciples. Two, what came out of the grave was the same body and person who died, but now changed. Jesus said in Mark, Luke 24:39, "It is I myself." In other words, when Jesus came out of the grave, he didn't have 12 eyes, 15 arms, roller skates for feet, little pinwheel on the top of his head. Basically, what came out of the grave looked like what went into the grave. His pre-resurrected body. So in other words, we learn a very important lesson. The body that we have with two arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears is basically the body that God designed from eternity and he likes. We look like he wants us to be, but it's been ruined by sin. Jesus was similar. His voice was similar. Do you remember when he was on the Emmaus Road and he arrived in the little town of Emmaus and he sat down to eat and they saw his hands and immediately they said they recognized him. They would have seen the nail scars in his hands and the spear scar on his side. So they could recognize he was different, but he was the same. There's a lot of continuity. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration? The apostles themselves were able to identify Moses and Elijah. In other words, they looked like regular human beings. And they had identity. So you're not going to be some formless creature floating through space, sitting on a cloud with a harp. Doesn't that sound horrible? Especially if you don't know how to play the harp. No, we're going to have a body. It's going to be a glorious body. Third, what came out of the grave was also different and more glorious and powerful. When Jesus came out of the grave, he was a mature adult. But youthful, strong, not aged or weary. A perfect body came from the grave, not an earthbound body. It had greater capacities, not limited to many of the material boundaries. Jesus could pass through a sealed tomb. He could walk through closed doors. The body of Jesus could appear and disappear. Luke 24:31, Jesus vanished from their sight. Luke 24:36, Jesus appeared. In other words, he could be visible and he could be invisible. He could materialize. He could interact with both the invisible world and the visible world. The body could be transported without physical movement. Jesus stood among them. Luke 24. And the new body transcends the earthly laws of physical existence, of gravity and material penetration. In other words, this body looks like the old body, but it's radically transformed. It's in a different dimension, a different sphere. Now, three. A body raised to be immortal, imperishable, and eternal. 1 Corinthians 15. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body, you live in a mortal body now, must put on immortality. Now, the key to this new body is this. It doesn't die. It's not subjective to the corrupting, decaying influences of this world. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Now, death is master over us. Death is that bleak black hole that we all fear. That's why you don't step in front of trucks or drink poison. That's why you exercise and you eat your vitamins and maybe you get a little more zinc in your system. Why? Because you're afraid of dying. Death just sort of looms over us. It can happen at any moment. You go out and you don't come home. But notice what the text says. Death no longer is master over him. Done with death. That's part of this new body. It cannot die. Bible also says the corruptible put on the incorruptible. The new body is eternal in nature. Our bodies are not eternal in nature now. They've only got a little short span of time, 70, 80 years. I just read the other day a lady who lived in France to be 122 years of age. When she was 110, she was bike riding. So maybe you want to take up bike riding right away. But that's still a short little time. It's still a short little time. 120 years. 22 years. This is an eternal body. This new body will not wear out. It won't grow old or show the signs of aging. It doesn't have age spots on its hands. This new body will not get sick. It's not subject to disease. No fear of cancer or heart attack. This new body will be healthy and strong forever. It will have the characteristic of youthfulness and maturity forever. Now think of this. It will not need doctors, medicine, hospitals, operations, insurance companies, HMOs. If you can figure that out, let me know immediately. Cemeteries. Funeral directors will not need any of this. It's done with all this. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, some consider one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, we're told in Romans 8 that the trees and the animals and the mountains and all of creation is actually in groaning. Maybe you've heard it groan. Groaning, waiting for the curse to be removed, the limitations to be removed, and to be liberated into this new age. And you are groaning for it too. Number four, a body raised to be glorious and powerful. We go to 1 Corinthians 15, and the apostle writes these words. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. Now remember, these Christians were confused about the resurrection. They couldn't figure it out. Now you have to realize they're Greeks. Greeks did not want anything to do with the body. They felt the body was evil and the spirit was good. So when these Greeks here were going to be raised from the dead, they go, well, how can this happen? Body's not even important, but body's evil. So he's got to explain to them this problem. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. So he uses right now an illustration. The illustration is of a seed. So let's say I have a little seed right here. It's a seed of wheat. And I take that little seed, little tiny seed, and I put it in the soil. It goes into the soil, and it almost immediately starts to rot. And it breaks open. And then the little seed is in there, and it unites with the soil and with moisture. And in the most miraculous way, that little seed starts to grow, and it produces a long golden stalk of wheat. And sometimes you can look at a beautiful, beautiful field full of golden wheat. Well, they didn't plant wheat. They planted a little seed, but what came out was something very beautiful. So that's the illustration he's using here. You sow something into the ground, but what comes out is different. So here's what he says. What is sown is perishable, your body. But what is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a material body, it is raised a spiritual body. So let's look at what he says here. Now, let me just give you an illustration. We had a funeral here just about 2 weeks ago, and after the funeral service, we go to the graveside, and it's a very interesting moment. The ceremony is over, the memorial is over, and then everyone walks away. And I've done this many times. Everyone goes away. The loved ones go away. And you turn back, and you look back, and here's this body and a coffin just left there, and we all leave. And then some men will come a few minutes later and they will bury that body. The most precious thing you have is your body. And maybe it's a loved one, husband or wife or a child, and you walk away and you leave it. It's a very awesome feeling. And when you look at that, you say, what dishonor? What weakness? What an ugly thing. Now that's what he's saying. You put the body in the ground and it's dishonor, it's decaying, it's corruptible. All right? That's what a seed is like, and that's what happens to your body. But what comes out of the grave is powerful and glorious. All right, so the first thing he says is a glorious body. Notice this new body is raised in glory. It goes in dishonor, and it's a very dishonorable thing. In contrast to dishonor, but what comes out is glorious. Now, what he means by glorious, it's beautiful, it's attractive. Mr. William McDonald used to say this, whenever you see a very, very super attractive woman, and probably she'll be in a magazine, or extremely handsome man, he'll be in Land's End's magazine, you know, showing off his great body and his handsome, rugged, manly face. When you look at them, remember this, you're not very handsome and you're not very beautiful. Really, most of us are quite ugly, actually. But when you see this handsome man, this beautiful woman, remember this. It's a little message to you to tell you someday you will be beautiful. You'll have that body you always wanted, but could never diet to get. When you see a Michelangelo and his art, remember this. It's a little sign to you that someday you will be like that. You hear a Beethoven and you listen to his music. You say, I can't even imagine writing music. Or Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he writes at 9 years of age. He's writing novels in his head. Just remember, when you see these special people, they're a little message to you. Someday, you will have that beauty, that intelligence, that art, that craftiness. It will be yours someday. So it comes out a glorious body. Now, the word glorious is often used in the Bible for bright, shining radiations of God's glory, the radiance of His glory, brightness, radiance surrounding God. There's a sense in which we will share that. Matthew 13:43 says this, "Then the righteous," speaking of the resurrection, "then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Daniel 12:3, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above." When our Lord was on the mountain of transfiguration with His disciples, Moses and Elijah appeared, do you remember what the Bible says? That His clothes were glistening. They were beaming. It was white. And just He was shining. The radiance of His brilliance. Well, that was a little prefiguring, a little foreshadowing of what Christ looks like, not veiled with this body. That's what it was. Someday, we will literally radiate with this brightness, glowing, beaming, joyous, unlike anything you can conceive of now. And then a powerful body, in contrast to a weak body. And you know, if you've ever seen someone die, a loved one, the body just becomes so weak and so feeble, can't even get out of bed. Well, in contrast to that weakness, there is power. The body is free from sin and disease and aging and all of the infirmities of these feeble bodies. And it will appear and disappear. It will have strength. It will be able to fly, to move freely. It will be a body like a butterfly set free. With all the strength that God has put into the brain and into the muscles and into the whole of our being, it will be a glorious body and a powerful body and a new capacity to serve and to work. Revelation 22:3, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him." Now, you ever see someone has died and they send you this card and it says, "Entered His eternal rest." Talk about dismal. I don't know. I've never sent anyone that card. "Enters." You want to rest for eternity? A couple hours, okay, but eternity, just sleeping. No, my friends, it says here that we will serve Him throughout eternity. And it's going to be fun, unabated joy. You'll all be scientists. You'll all be scholars and artists, musicians, all the great genius that God has placed in our being as bearing His divine image. That will all come to fruition, and we'll see it for what it was really meant to be. And so God is infinite. That means there's no boundaries. That's what it means. There's no walls. There's the end of the universe here. No, there is no end to God. And so throughout eternity, we will be studying His creation. I'm going to personally be a scientist myself, studying the new creation, the trees. We know there's trees because the book of Revelation tells us there will be trees. And I'm sure God will create many other kind of animals because He must like animals. He made so many different kinds. And we'll study them and ride on them. And we'll be studying all kinds of biology. And we'll we know there's music, lots of music in heaven. So you're going to be very busy in heaven. No tests, so don't worry about it. And you'll have plenty of time. Will not be subject to time. Revelation 22:5 says, "And they will reign forever and ever." In other words, we're kings and priests to God. We'll reign over angels, the Bible tells us. So don't think of heaven as just lying around drinking iced tea on a couch or something. You will be very busy and fruitful and productive, and you'll love it. And then 2 Corinthians 5:4 says this. Notice this verse. "So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." In other words, when Paul is describing the new body, he calls it life. This is a mortal body. But this mortal body is subjected to so many problems. When you get your new body, it will be life in its fullest. In its joyous, unabated character and nature. You will really be living. Last, a spiritual body, he says. What will be raised is a spiritual. Now, please don't misunderstand this. When he says it'll be a glorious body, powerful body, a spiritual body, he doesn't mean non-physical. Because that would be a contradiction of what he just said. Because it is our belief that we will be raised a physical, material, transformed body. What he means by a spiritual body is that the spiritual is always before the physical. It means that it will be a body characterized by the spiritual nature of itself and of God. In other words, we'll live in obedience to God. Fellowshipping with God will be easy. It's so hard right now. Anything's easier than prayer. Reading the scriptures. No, it will be a body that will be related to the whole spiritual dimension. To fellowship with angels, fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. What does that sound? What is that? Oh, here it comes. Must have been some kind of special echo. Maybe I was getting my glorified body. I don't know. Get a new powerful voice. I'll take it. It's a little early for it, but I'll get whatever I can. Notice it doesn't say anything about money. Did you notice that? Nothing about money. I don't think there'll be any money. We don't need money. Okay. Now, this point of this new body is what the Bible calls the glorification of the saints. In other words, this is the end goal. The end goal is to save us, but it's also to raise us from the dead and put us in the new heavens and new earth. And when all that happens, that's called glorification, the doctrine of glorification. Now, I must tell you there's some bad news in all this, too. There will be a resurrection of unbelievers to judgment. Jesus Christ himself taught this. Notice what Jesus said. The hour is coming when all who are in the tomb will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, in other words, new heavens, new earth, new body, real life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. What is a resurrection to judgment? Well, all people are going to be resurrected. All people are going to be given a new body, but some bodies are fitted for the new heavens and new earth, and some bodies are fitted for eternal judgments, fitted for hell, the lake of fire, which is also the creation of God for eternity. So, I just want to warn you, there is a resurrection of judgment, not just only a resurrection of life. Very frightening. We wouldn't make this up if Jesus didn't say it, because it's not something we like to talk about. But it's true, and you need to hear if it's true. Now, my final point. A body raised to live in the new heaven and new earth. For the believer, the great promise is that we'll be with the Lord forever in a new earth and a new heaven. Listen to Revelation 21 as we come to the end of the Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That's where we live right now. It's going to all pass away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. In other words, God's new creation. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. Man. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Everything you see now is going to all pass away, be done with forever. Now, listen very carefully to these last words, some of the last concluding words of the Bible. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Isn't it interesting? The Bible ends with this promise, I'm going to make all things new. In fact, there's a man who wrote a book called Newness Theology, and he goes through the Bible showing you how the word new is used over and over again. New wine, a new covenant, a new people. But notice this one here, all inclusive. I'm going to make all things new. That's the great hope of the believer. Now, we've been talking about this new body, what it's like. Been trying to describe it, but here's one of the best descriptions. Yes, it will be like Christ's body. It'll be glorious. It'll be powerful. Be spiritual. But this new body, unlike the body you have right now, which was fitted for this planet right now, this new body is not made for this planet. It's made for a new planet, a new earth. In other words, I will make all things new. There will be a passing away of this earth and the heavens. And God will create all things new. You are going to live on a new earth with a new body, a body like Christ. That is the end goal. That's the final culmination of everything, to live in the paradise of God. Everything you see here is a shadow of that great day. That's all it is a shadow. Someday you'll see it, its fulfillment, and its pure beauty. That is what our great Christian hope is about. By the way, we're not going to be made like Adam. People might think, well, before Adam sinned, that's the kind of body we'll have. No, Adam's body was limited, even before sin, to this earth. The body we are going to have in the resurrection is going to be like Christ's new, glorified, imperishable body. So we're not going to be like Adam and Eve. We're not going to be like who we are now. Only in some type are we like we are now, but it will be radically transformed and infinitely greater. Now, how do you make sure there will be a resurrection to life for you? Well, let me read to you Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, a verse I know that many of you have memorized, but I want you to see it just a little bit differently today. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, he is God, he's not just a teacher, not just a mild-mannered humanist, an example, he is Lord. You must confess he is Lord, who he is. Now, look carefully at this, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, you have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul told these Corinthians, who got all mixed up about the resurrection of the body, he said, if there is no resurrection of the body, then we're the most foolish people on this earth, and then Christ was not raised. We are saying there was a real, historical, in-time resurrection of Christ from the grave, the prototype of what we will be like someday. So you must believe that to be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, we often emphasize that you must believe in the death of Christ, the cross of Christ. Because you see, on the cross, God took this sick world, all of its sickness and all of its wars and all of its distortion and all of its judgment. He took all of that, this weary old world, and he put all that on his son, Christ. And he became the substitute in God's plan of salvation to bear judgment and the curse that God said would fall upon us for sin, the death. Death would fall upon him. We often emphasize that you are saved by the cross, the substitutionary death of Christ. But I want you to notice in our passage here, you must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then you will be saved. So you must believe that God vindicated what he did on the cross by raising him from the dead. And not just bringing him out of the grave, but giving him at that very second this new, imperishable, glorified, powerful spiritual body for eternity, the prototype of what your body will be like. You must believe this. This is the message. Now, whenever Christ spoke, he always called for a response. In other words, I gave you a lot of information today. Gave you information about the body. Much of it you know already. I gave you information about the new resurrected bodies. It's information. Maybe it was even information overload. I don't know. Most of you look like you're awake, so I guess you were able to endure all this information. But information is not enough. There must be a response. When God speaks, there must always be a response. Christ calls for a response. And the response is to confess your lostness. The response is to confess your need and to believe and receive Christ in his message. There's a message that must be believed. It's a very serious message. It deals with the message of life and death, eternity and the present age. Have you believed? Have you taken your life and thrown it on Christ and all his promises to give you this eternal life, this new body, the new heaven, the new earth? What has been your response? I want you to stand with me as I close in prayer now. And if you would come up to the piano here and our singers could come up, we'll have a closing song, or any singers we have. We're going to have for you up here some free literature. We have a wonderful book here by John Stott. basic Christianity, explains the resurrection, and then J.C. Ryle on sickness, and maybe you're facing sickness. Maybe you don't know what the gospel is. What is the gospel? We have this literature here, and we'd love you to come up. We have friends here who will talk to you. Maybe you need prayer for something physical. Maybe you're facing a financial crisis. You come up when we're done and pray with us, and we'll pray with you. Remember, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Spirit of God is here now, and He's speaking to us. So will you pray with me? Will you take a moment to respond to this information? Your response has to be a heart that understands salvation's plan. Christ died for you, you personally. Your sin, your sickness, the curse, the judgments, all that you have has all been placed on Christ. He's your substitute, He's your lamb. He bore it away. But now you must receive Him. You must confess your need for Him. Do not let pride turn you away from salvation. This is your moment now, and you can personally trust and call out for salvation. Whoever cries to the Lord will be saved, the Bible tells us. If you want to respond like this, you come up after this last song, and we'll talk together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great hope of the Christian that there is a resurrection from the dead. The grave is not the end of life. We are not just trash in a garbage can or roadkill on the side of a highway. We have an eternal significance to us, and we know this. We ask that we would have the assurance of this eternal life, and of sins forgiven, and of heaven. May this be our prayer today, in Christ's name. Amen.